Today on Real Life Radio.
The Bible says in this world you and I will have tribulations. Did you know that? Are you having a rough time? Are you having a rough life? The Bible says you're going to have a rough life. Christians, listen, we have rough lives. Our lives are tough, but they have a purpose and a meaning.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message called Jesus Christ is Coming Again. There is no other book in the Bible that draws us in with such a gracious promise of blessing. But there's also no other book that comes with a severe warning should anyone add or take away from its message. In Genesis, we have the beginning of it all. In Revelation, we have the end goal of it all. You see, when Jesus Christ first came to the earth, he came to the nation of Israel as the sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of sins. He died on the cross and rose again, making salvation possible for the Jews and then for the Gentiles. His second coming, however, will be a universal event. Jesus will be coming in all of his power and glory, and every eye will see him. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that Jesus is coming again because that's what the Bible has foretold. And when the Bible speaks, it's time to listen. The Bible tells us that there is a deeper revelation, and we need to be ready. God is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and the one who began it, and he's the one who will finish it. And now in his message called Jesus Christ is Coming Again, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 7, we see this. He is coming in righteousness. Righteousness. How do we determine that? Because it says in verse 7, even they who pierced him. Who's that a reference to, everybody? Who pierced him? Israel turned Jesus Christ over to the Roman government. The Roman government was the instrument, but it was an unbelieving Jewish leadership in their religion. It was not necessarily all the Jewish people, don't get me wrong. They turned him over according to the scriptures by the predetermined counsel and foreknowledge of God. Jesus Christ was going to the cross to die for the sins of the world, including the Jewish people. And God's not done with Israel. It says here in his great coming that even they who pierced him, a reference to Israel. Now, this is an interesting verse because God will somehow allow those who were there at the time to know this, his coming, and those throughout history and those today when his obviously is coming in glory, that all the world see him. But there's a wonderful insertion here by this statement, even they who pierced him, a wonderful insertion of compassion. Don't think for a moment that God is done with Israel. Not at all. The book of Romans tells us that for a season, listen everyone, that for a season God has set aside Israel, that the Gentiles, that's me, that's you, most of us, if not all of us, have gotten saved in these last 2,000 years, the birth of the church. The Gentile church is the church age of grace. And then the Bible says there's going to come a moment when God completes that dispensation of time and he focuses on Israel again. And by the way, anybody know how long that time frame is? It's 7 years. That's why the tribulation is called the time of Jacob's trouble. What's another name for Jacob, anybody? Israel. Jacob's name was changed to Israel by God. He is coming in righteousness. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, one of the greatest chapters of all prophetic teaching in the Bible, Daniel 9, 24 says here, 490 years are determined for your people, Daniel, the Jewish people, and for your holy city, Jerusalem. Number one, to finish the transgression, Jesus did that at the cross, by the way, to make an end of sins, Jesus did that at the cross, to make reconciliation for iniquity, that's bringing us to God through his sacrifice, guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Sunday morning. Number four, this hasn't happened yet, to bring in everlasting righteousness. When Jesus Christ returns, he will set up his kingdom, the Bible says, and he will rule in righteousness. Are you guys with me? That's good. Even they who pierced him, listen to this. Jot it down. Zechariah 12, 9 through 11. What a tremendous verse. Prophetic teaching of the prophet Zechariah. Written nearly 1,000 years before Jesus was ever born. Keep that in mind as I read this. It shall be in that day, that is the second coming, that I will seek to destroy all nations that have come against Jerusalem. Don't mess with Jerusalem. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. God's going to save the remnant of Israel. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced. Wow. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day, there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem. This is what God says through the prophet Zechariah. Isn't that tremendous? I'm coming back and I'm going to take out anybody who's messed with Israel in Jerusalem, God says. Don't mess with Jerusalem, God's city. I know everybody's fighting for it, you know, and try to divide it up. And by the way, the prophet said that that would happen. But God's coming back to take it. And no UN flag is going to keep him. Nobody. He's going to come and take it. God's going to do that. It's where Jesus will rule and reign. But the Lord himself says, they've pierced me. That's interesting. Psalm 22, verse 16, written 1,000 years before Jesus was pierced. The psalmist says, for Gentiles have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked have enclosed upon me, and they have pierced my hands and my feet. Wow. Jesus Christ is coming back. The Bible says he will. Verse 7, we also learn concerning the universal event of Christ coming, that he's coming in judgment. He's going to bring judgment. It says that all the tribes, you ought to circle that word. It means all the ethnic groups, all of them, every color, all ethnic groups and those of every level in society, everybody, all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Why because of him? Listen, because he's coming back in righteousness, he's coming back in power, he's coming back in glory, and he's coming back in judgment, people. Now listen, I believe clearly the Bible teaches the rapture of the church will happen before the second coming. What you don't want to do is be one of those people that are left behind, that push off God's invitation of grace. He says all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And the word here is a very sad word for mourning. It's not, oh, Jesus is the one. All right, let's welcome him back. Jesus is the one. That's not what the word means. They're not mourning like, oh, we blew it. Now we understand. That's not what it means. The word means that they're mourning because they are against him. They're in trouble. They've been caught. It's the word that is used for when you've been busted of a crime. The people of the earth will be busted. The Jesus they mocked will be the Jesus that comes in glory. I tell you, you might want to look at Isaiah chapter 26. It's an amazing couple of verses. Isaiah 26 verses 19 to 21 clearly delineates the two events of the rapture of the church and the second coming. Listen to what the prophet is given to by God. He says, your dead shall live together with my dead body. They will arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the earth. That's resurrection. For your dew is like the dew of herbs. When the sun comes up, dew evaporates. It rises upward. And the earth will cast out its dead. Come, my people, enter into your chambers and shut the doors behind you and hide yourself, as it were, for just a moment. Why? We would ask the question, how come? Right? If we're all like five-year-olds, it's why? Why do I need to hide behind your chambers, Lord? Why should I come and be with you and be hidden where you're at? He says, until the indignation is past, for behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish all the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. My people, he says, my people are hidden away at a time when all my wrath is poured out upon the earth. And that's exactly what the book of Revelation speaks about concerning his judgment. Jesus Christ is coming again. Our second point found in verse 8. Who is he that's coming? We can go through this portion quick. You already know it. Who is he that is coming? Well, whoever he is, he's the eternal one. He's the one who is the Alpha and the Omega. It says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. That's tremendous. The one who is coming is the Alpha and the Omega. The word Alpha, this is interesting. The word Alpha is the word for the first letter of the Greek language. Omega is the last, A to Z, we would say in English. What's interesting about this verse is that it's Alpha, the word Alpha, and the Omega. The word Omega is not spelled. It is the letter Omega, which many scholars say this, that Jesus is the beginning or the revelation to mankind of the Word of God. Because doesn't the Bible say that He is the Word of God? But it's open-ended on the end, meaning that the Word of God will not come to an end. It continues on. What does that mean? Oh, it's a wonderful flirt. It's a flirtatious thing by God. He's saying, my Word, which is my Son, you have come to know. But in all time and eternity, you will get to know Him forevermore. There was a moment in time in your life when you got to know Jesus Christ. Remember when that was? Like last service. Some people this morning accepted Jesus. Do they know everything about theology? No, who does? Do they know all the ins and outs of prophecy? No, who does? But what do they know? They knew enough to accept Him as Lord and Savior. Are you with me? Well, what are they going to do for the rest of their life? Get to know Him. What are we going to do in eternity forever? Do you think we're going to reach a day where we're going to come out of some class and say, I got it. Jesus, I know everything about you now. I think it's going to take all of eternity. That's why how wonderful it is, the little specific things left for us to find, these nuggets, that it's the open-ended omega that forever we will get to know of His wonderful love, His grace, His goodness, and His mercy. What a tremendous thing. The eternal one. Not only that, but He's the ruler of all the ages. Listen to that. Verse 8. He's the beginning and the end, saith the Lord. The beginning and the end is a reference to the governor of time. Isaiah 9:6 tells us that wonderful Christmas verse. For unto us a child is born, and a son is given. The government shall rest upon His shoulders. And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. And we say the Everlasting Father. And in reality, it's the governor or the father of time. The baby born in Bethlehem to Mary and Joseph called Jesus, the Bible says that He's the governor of time. Isn't that a fantastic truth? He's the ruler of time. Boy, I tell you, what's more precious to us than money these days? It's time. We'll pay money to have somebody leave us alone. We'll pay somebody to help us get more time. Time is so precious. Jesus is the governor of time. All the names and titles of Jesus in the Bible, by the way, and I'd like you to take me up on this challenge. All the names and titles of Jesus Christ in Scripture are solely and strictly reserved for God alone. The Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. When God says to Israel, I am the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and besides me there is no God. What do you hear Jesus saying when He comes into the New Testament time? I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Why? Because God the Father manifested His will for mankind to be saved through Jesus Christ, His Son. And it's through Him and the preaching of His name and of His salvation that all men could come into that wonderful relationship with God. That's not a religion, by the way. It's a relationship. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 58, most assuredly I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was ever born, I've been in existence. He's the ruler of the ages. Verse 8 teaches us also that He who is coming is the ever-present God. This is a title reserved for God alone, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. The word Almighty here is a tremendous word. It means that He's the only, sole, one and only, exclusive potentate, or we would say the one and only one who is omnipotent, omnipresent, all-knowing, all-loving, all kind, all holy. There's only one, says the Bible. When He says that He is the one who is, He's the one that's right now for us. When He says that He was the one who was, He was the one back then, as we look at it in time. He's the one who is to come. That means He'll be there. That's the God you and I worship. He was there. He's here now. He'll be there in the future. Where am I? Where am I? Well, wherever we are, He's there. The Almighty. Number 3, our final point this morning, Jesus Christ is coming again because that's what the Bible says. Remember the bumper sticker, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. A lot of people think we're nuts for that. You know that? And I understand that. You Christians are crazy. Probably are crazy, but we're going to heaven. Well, how do you know? Bible says so. The Bible says it. John says in verse 9, I, John, both your brother and companion in tribulation or the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. More on that in a moment. Was on the island of Patmos, called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Bible guys, circle this. Why are you in prison, John, on this island? Rome sent prisoners there to dig in the mines, and then when they were done, they just threw them into the ocean. It's a horrible place. There's not a bush on Patmos. There's not a twig. That's where Rome sent John. Kind of a funny thing how he got there. He was preaching. He was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. John the apostle, the longest living apostle. All the other guys are dead. They can't get rid of him. The guy's a tremendous witness. He's arrested because he loves the Bible and he tells people about Jesus. He's arrested for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. He loves the Bible and he shares the love of Jesus with people. They arrest him and they put him in a boiling pot of oil. Everybody gathered around and they were going to make an example. They're going to boil him in oil. The only thing is, according to church history, just, you know, they brought him out and he's fine. Can you imagine? He's sitting there, it's boiling. Is that it? You guys going to heat this up or what? Pulls out the bar of soap, you know. It didn't infect them. They got so mad, they put him on a ship and sent him to Patmos to die as an old man. What does God do? It's a lonely place, desolate. In John's loneliness, he sees the glory of God. The book of Revelation is revealed to him, this old, precious man in his old age, near 100 years of age. What happens? Domitian, the emperor of Rome, the lunatic that sent him there, dies. So what an amazing thing. Nerva comes in now as emperor of Rome, a little bit more compassion towards Christians, and has John sent back to Ephesus, where he lives out the rest of his days at church, at the Ephesian church. Church historians tell us that they would open up the door and John would come in on a gurney. People had to carry him. He was so old. And he would raise his finger to the air and he'd say, "Brethren, love one another." That was his message. That's all he said. "Brethren, love one another." And then the service was over. The pastor, maybe Timothy, was done preaching. He was a pastor there one day. And then John would be carried out. "Brethren, love one another." You love one another. Jesus says, that's it. You love one another. Boy, I tell you, isn't the Lord coming back soon when we live in such a godless, loveless age? People will kill strangers. Somebody hitchhiking? Who's in danger now if you're hitchhiking? Lunatics will pick up a hitchhiker and kill him. Crazy world. Jesus says before he comes back, people will have a heart against the law. They'll be lawless. Isn't that tremendous? Well, you know, it's an amazing thing. He says, both I am your brother and companion. Aren't you glad? Listen how humble and precious he is. He didn't say, "Hey, you know what? I got a robe. Stand back. Kiss my ring. Give me a reserved parking spot." He's a brother and companion in what? In tribulation and kingdom and patience. This life, the Bible says, in this world, you and I will have tribulations. Did you know that? Are you having a rough time? Are you having a rough life? The Bible says you're going to have a rough life. Christians, listen, we have rough lives. Our lives are tough, but they have a purpose and a meaning. Man, I tell you, when we're sick or when we're hurting or when we're attacked, as a Christian, there's a meaning to our suffering. In fact, when you have a meaning to suffering, it makes suffering actually helpful. But if you don't have a meaning to your suffering, you're hopeless. We're Christians. We, like John, we're companions and brothers with him. And we have tribulation. Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulation, difficulty, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's good news. The Bible says, how about this? You want to memorize this verse for your, put it on the dashboard of your car? All those who live godly will suffer persecution. How about that one? Oh, that's my memory verse for the month. Just gives me warm fuzzies all over. It's true though. Persecution, difficulty, attack. The Bible is for us and tells us that there's a purpose to our troubles. John says, I'm your brother and companion in these things. And listen, this is the reason why I'm under attack, John says. It's for the word of God. I love the Bible and I love Jesus Christ. That's why he was in trouble. Maybe that's why you're in trouble. That's a good thing to be in trouble for. I've been in trouble for lesser things. Verse 10, the Bible tells us that there's a time to listen. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. Bible students, this is what we know for sure. It is definitely not a what? Trumpet. It's as of a trumpet, meaning a trumpet's not talking. Well, John hears a voice and he turns around and he doesn't see this big trumpet with lips talking to him. That's not what it is. Whoever's speaking to him is speaking as clear and as bright and as loud like a trumpet makes an announcement. When Israel was called to battle, when Israel was called to worship, when Israel was called to congregate, how do they do it? A trumpet. Isn't it interesting that the church will be gathered together in the same way? A trumpet. That's why I believe God told Moses, make two silver trumpets. I believe one represents Israel and one represents the church. But that's just my opinion. It has nothing to do with the Bible study. But he says he hears a loud voice. Can you imagine he's writing? What you see, write. Okay, I'm writing. And then he hears a voice. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Can you imagine? His pen goes flying in the air. What is that? He turns around and there is this incredible engulfing sound, consuming sound of this voice speaking. And that voice says this, that there's a deeper revelation, John. There's a deeper revelation found in verse 11. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. And he gives the list of the names, which we'll look at more closely in future studies. What's the urgency when Jesus says, what you see, write in a book and send it? What you write, send it quick, get it out. For behold, the Lord's coming. I want to ask you right now, what would you do? What would you do right now if Jesus Christ decided to come back right now for the church? Now, it's natural for some of you in this room to say, you know what? Awesome. Praise the Lord. Let's go. I just need you to, need the other ones of you to understand that if that's our heart's desire, and it is, that doesn't mean we're somehow self-righteous or we think we're holy or we don't sin. No, we blow it. But we understand what the Bible says, that he's coming back to take us to him. So when we hear that Jesus, oh, the Lord could come back today. All right. Praise the Lord. But if for some of you, it makes you nervous and frightened. It could be that you're involved in something in your life that the Holy Spirit's saying, you need to get that fixed. You know, like you got your hand in the cookie jar? Or maybe it's a guy, or maybe it's a girl in your life, and or maybe it's money, or maybe it's things or power. And it's the number one thing of your life. And you don't think about Jesus coming back. In fact, you don't even want to hear that. Listen, if you're nervous about him coming back this morning, I didn't make you nervous. The Holy Spirit is making you nervous right now. On what authority do I say that? Well, Jesus said, watch therefore, for you know neither the day or the hour in which the Son of Man comes. Are you watching? Can you and I say of our lives, I'm watching. He says again, Jesus does, take heed, watch, pray, for you do not know when the time is. Are you watching and praying? That is, are you keeping your life in line with what God wants? I wish I could tell you that I walk perfect with God every day. There's days when I pray and there's days when I don't pray enough. I eat every day, so I pray every day. There's no doubt about it. But I don't pray enough. We all fail. Luke 21, Jesus says there, take heed to yourselves. That means you have to watch out for you concerning my coming. So that your heart is not weighed down with partying, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare to those who dwell on the face of the earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be found worthy to escape all these things that are coming upon the earth. Wow! Are you ready today? I didn't ask if you're sinless. I asked if you're ready.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Jesus Christ is Coming Again. Thanks for joining us today. Jesus Christ is Coming Again is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Book of Revelation, a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events. The Book of Revelation, as we'll see, occupies a central place in the hearts and minds of every true believer. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, as we continue through the book of Revelation, it's good to have immediate access to what's important and meaningful to our lives. There's an urgency in the air to keep spreading the gospel and to stay true to sound doctrine. So here's a reminder that you can have instant access to all that Pastor Jack has to offer when you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app to your smartphone or tablet. You've got devotions there, sermons, Christian worldview updates, Bible studies, and a whole lot more right there at your fingertips. You'll find the Real Life with Jack Hibbs mobile app at the App Store or at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.